One issue dominated last night's Democratic debate.
Foreign policy took center stage in the last Democratic presidential debate before the Iowa caucuses.
We'll analyze the key moments. Plus, the U.S. and China are set to sign a Phase 1 trade deal today.
This is an enormous achievement for the president and the economic team.
And why some cities are offering free bus rides. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we look at last night's Democratic debate, here's what you missed. The Trump administration is preparing possible cuts of $250 million in military aid to Iraq. That's if the country decides to expel U.S. troops. The emails we reviewed in which State Department officials discussed the plans also said no final decision has been made. An official told us there have been no changes to U.S. assistance at this point. Amazon's clampdown on FedEx is over for now. Nearly a month after imposing a ban on FedEx's ground shipping, the online retailer told third-party sellers that they could once again use the service to ship Amazon Prime orders. Amazon had banned FedEx in mid-December because of what it said were slipping times for Prime deliveries. FedEx said its network performed well during the holiday rush. New clues on what brought down a Ukrainian passenger jet in Iran. Surveillance footage appears to show that the airliner was hit by a second missile. The video raises questions about how forthcoming Iranian authorities were in the days after the crash. In a speech yesterday, Iran's president, Hassan Rouhani, vowed that anyone who should be punished will be punished. Iran's admission that it accidentally shot down the jet after 3 days of denials sparked protests. Now, our main story. Six Democratic presidential hopefuls took to the stage in Iowa last night in the last debate before the caucuses. Moderators from CNN and the Des Moines Register asked candidates to react to President Trump's decision to order the killing of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. Here's what former Vice President Joe Biden had to say.
I know what it's like to send a son or daughter like our colleague has gone to war in Afghanistan, my son for a year in Iraq. And that's why I do it very, very reluctantly. That's why I led the effort, as you know, Wolf, against surging tens of thousands of troops into Afghanistan.
But Biden also said the U.S. needs to maintain a presence in the region to prevent ISIS from regrouping. Former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg said he opposed President Trump's troop deployments.
We can continue to remain engaged without having an endless commitment of ground troops. That's but right. What's going on right now is the president's actually sending more. The very president who said he was going to end endless war, who pretended to have been against the war in Iraq all along, though we know that's not true, now has more troops going to the Middle East. And whenever I see that happen, I think about the day we shipped out and the time that was set aside for saying goodbye to family members. That is happening by the thousands right now as we see so many more troops sent into harm's way. And my perspective is to ensure that that will never happen when there is an alternative as commander-in-chief.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren said U.S. combat troops shouldn't stay in the Middle East. But foreign policy wasn't the only thing discussed in Des Moines. Our reporter Ken Thomas breaks down some other key moments.
The biggest moment involved the two liberal senators in the race, Sanders and Warren. The Vermont senator denied a report that he told Warren in a private meeting more than a year ago that he didn't think a woman could win the presidency. Warren offered an olive branch and said she wasn't there to fight with Sanders.
Bernie is my friend, and I am not here to try to fight with Bernie. But look, this question about whether or not a woman can be president has been raised, and it's time for us to attack it head on. And I think the best way to talk about who can win is by looking at people's winning record. So, can a woman beat Donald Trump? Look at the men on this stage. Collectively, they have lost 10 elections. The only people on this stage who have won every single election that they've been in are the women. Amy and me.
After the debate, Warren and Sanders notably did not shake hands and appeared to have a tense exchange. That could signal that this rift between the two progressives could continue.
Another recurring subject in the debate was President Trump's looming impeachment trial in the Senate.
Three of the candidates, Sanders, Warren, and Klobuchar, will be jurors in the trial and won't be able to camp out in Iowa in the final weeks. The senators pointed out that they have a constitutional duty to serve as jurors, but that dynamic could give Biden and Pete Buttigieg more room to maneuver in Iowa while their opponents are stuck in Washington.
Overall, Ken says last night's debate wasn't a fiery one, and that's deliberate.
The candidates displayed a lot of caution during the night, and that reflects the stakes in this race. Right now, four candidates are serious contenders to win Iowa and gain the momentum to propel their candidacies forward. And most importantly, polls have shown that nearly half of the Iowa caucusgoers say they could still be persuaded to support a different candidate.
You can read our full coverage of the debate and watch some other key moments up on WSJ.com. On to markets. We'll get more fourth quarter earnings today. Pay attention to Goldman Sachs and Bank of America, especially given the strong fourth quarter numbers from JP Morgan yesterday. Another thing moving markets, the signing of the Phase 1 trade deal between the U.S. and China later today. Ahead of that, the U.S. removed China's designation as a currency manipulator. From Hong Kong, columnist Mike Bird has more.
So China was labeled a currency manipulator by the United States last year. There's a lot of politics involved in that around trade relations between the two countries. As those relations start to warm up, it's now been dropped, and that is very important for the value of the yuan. Last year, the yuan fell through 7 to the dollar for the first time in about a decade, and it's slowly come back as the progress on those trade talks has been made. You saw it below 6.9 for the first time in a long while this week, to its strongest level since July. And I think that continued optimism about a trade deal is likely to continue being good for the yuan. It's pretty much the only thing that people are currently paying attention to with regards to the Chinese currency's value.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. Two big events in Washington. As I mentioned, we'll get the signing of that Phase 1 trade deal. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said it was an enormous achievement for President Trump and his economic team.
This is the first time we'll have a fully binding agreement with China with structural changes, technology protection, and an additional $200 billion of purchases.
However, some Democrats, like Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, said they believe the deal didn't do enough for U.S. companies and workers. Elsewhere in the Capitol, the House is expected to send articles of impeachment to the Senate. At a rally in Wisconsin last night, President Trump said Democrats were wasting their time with impeachment. In New York, a federal judge will hear closing arguments in the Sprint T-Mobile case. State attorneys general sued the government in opposition to the merger between the two telecom giants. They're worried about the potential impact on consumers. Reporter Drew Fitzgerald says Wall Street is increasingly worrying that the judge will rule in their favor.
The spread on the deal, which is Sprint's price relative to the value that T-Mobile has offered it in this merger, has widened sharply over the past few weeks to more than 40%. And that means that a lot of investors are betting that the judge is going to deny this merger.
But don't expect a decision at the end of the day.
A lot of investors are expecting some sort of decision in February. And at that point, we'll have the answer to a lot of questions about where the wireless industry is going, and really even bigger questions about where antitrust enforcement is going in this country.
Finally, would you ride a city bus if it were free? In order to combat increasing traffic and falling ridership, some smaller cities like Lawrence, Massachusetts, and Kansas City, Missouri, are testing free bus fares. Lawrence spent a little over $200,000 to test the concept for 2 years. Ridership jumped by around a quarter, and the long-term hope is that free rides slow declining rider numbers while easing road congestion, and eventually help turn around residents' willingness to pay for public transportation. That's what's news from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.